Do say that perseverance plays, and I'm delighted to tell you that I can welcome to the show, and on the line is Henry Cooper, OBE and KSG. And thank you very much indeed for taking the time to talk to us today.
Well, I'm sorry I was out when you first phoned, but I got caught in traffic, unfortunately. But that's the trouble in London.
Well, to be honest with you, I never always say exactly who we've got, because sometimes, you know, it can be something like this. And,
yeah.
And of course, other people mightn't always understand. But can I start by asking you about your mother's gorgeous bread pudding?
Yes.
Did it really weigh you down when you started fighting?
Well, yeah, it's a funny thing, you know. I mean, brother George and I, we started amateur boxing together, and I could always remember it. We had our first three fights, and we both lost all our first three fights, and we couldn't make it out. And then we found out that when we were coming home from school, well, Mum had made bread pudding. We'd all had lovely, great big lumps of bread pudding, and then we were going in the ring trying to box, which was a little bit of an impossibility. So.
Well, you probably are well aware, but just in case, you know, every now and again you might forget, there are so many people like myself who we've grown up with what you achieved.
Yeah.
And, you know, every now and again you read something about somebody and you think you've known most of the career.
Yeah.
But do you know what? I didn't realise how well you'd done at the Olympics.
Oh, yes. Well, I went to the 1952 Olympics in Helsinki. But we wasn't too successful, to be honest. If you remember, in them days, it was the height for the Cold War, and I think I was one of the first Brits to fight a Russian. And I had a bye in the first round, which was good. And then I fought this Russian. I can't think of his name, Perov or something like that. And We had a Frenchman, a Czechoslovakian, a Polish, and another communist country. They all voted for the Russian, and the Frenchman voted for me, so I lost that fight, yeah.
But, you know, I think an awful lot of people probably wouldn't even have remembered that you were at the Olympic Games.
No, well, we were, yes. Actually, I was the youngest in the team. We had a little Welsh guy called Di Dower, who was a brilliant little boxer, and he had this little baby face, and they all thought, like him being small and like a baby face, that he was the youngest competitor. He wasn't. He was a month or two older than me, so I, who was a light heavyweight, I was the actual youngest one in the team.
Mm-hmm. So this is really what I was saying about, you know, it was really quite a feat to be actually there, and I think that, you know, for a lot of people, that will probably come as quite a surprise, actually.
Yeah, but a lot of people are surprised, and they say, what Olympic? I said, 52,
yes.
Which was in Helsinki, so it's going back a bit.
And then, of course, reading throughout your career, can you tell us a bit more about the boxing battalion?
Well, we joined the army in 1952, and we went, Brother George and I, we went into Number 4 Battalion, the Royal Army Ordnance Corps. Now, the Ordnance Corps in them days was the army boxing champions. They were all like, when we went in, they'd won the championship like the year previous to we went into the army, and while we were in it, we won it 2 years. We went to Germany and we boxed the Rhein Army champions and beat them. So we were fairly successful. And basically, if you look at the boxers we had like boxers who had won silver medals in the Olympics, and that we had like Nicky Gargano, Georgie Wheeland. There was myself. We had Joe Erskine. I mean, we had a team that could have represented. Could have represented the country, you know. Yeah.
Mm. And of course, you've probably got legions of people that will tell you this, but my dad used to always sort of get me up to listen on the radio or whatever when the fight was. And of course, the excitement when you put Cassius Clay on the seat of his pants. What went through your mind when you actually saw him hit the deck? Did you think you'd won it?
Well, yeah, because once I hit him with my left hook, you know, and I always knew, you know, you always know when you've hit the man, when I hit him on the chin and the pupils of his eyes shot into the top of his head and he went down, and I felt the solid contact you've made with the punch, I knew he was in trouble. But unfortunately, I hit him too late in the round. I mean, unfortunately, the count got to five when the bell went, and then Mr. Angelo Dundee's manager and trainer jumped in the ring, got him back to the corner, and that's when all the okey pokey started. You know, I mean, they split the glove. They split the glove and caused the commotion so that he got extra time, which he did, because what they decided, they would send for a new pair of gloves. Well, gloves were in the dressing room, which was 150 yards away from the ring. So by the time they went there, got the next gloves and brought them back, had a little confab, he'd had a two and a half minute interval. You know?
Yes. Yeah. Well, if it's any consolation to you, my dad was hopping mad. He really was. He was so cross, because my dad was one of the biggest fans that you probably ever
good
had.
Good old dad.
Now, when you look at the people that you fought, you had some great opponents. I'm looking at people like Zora Foley, back
Floyd
home.
Floyd Patterson.
Yeah.
Well, I fought three world champions. I fought Floyd Patterson. I fought Ingemar Johansson. And then I fought Ali on two occasions. Well, I fought both of them, Cassius Clay and Ali. You know?
Absolutely amazing. And, you know, the list of the people that you fought is amazing. But I was going to ask you, did you obviously, you must have suffered because of the fact that your eyes probably cut too easily.
Well, yeah, I had a problem what a lot of white people see, the negroid feature is slightly smoother and flatter, so the negroes or the black guys don't get cut as easy as the English guy, because I was all prominent cheekbones and eyebrows, you know. I mean, now if I'd have turned pro now, I'd have gone to a plastic surgeon and had the edges of the bones taken off around my eyes, because the doctor said to me they were just like razors, you know. You only had to get a knock, and the bone came through the skin. You know, that's
yes.
What we had. Brother George and I, we both suffered from that, where we had sharp features like round the eyes, and that was the trouble. Yeah.
And of course, we all used to anticipate Henry's hammer. Was that something that somebody taught you, or was it something that just was natural for you?
No, well, it's a thing. No, basically, my punch being left-handed, I had all my power in my left hand. So then my big punch was the left hook. Brother George, although we were twins, he was right-handed, and his big punch was the right-hand punch. Now, when we were like amateurs, George actually stopped more people than I did by hitting them with his right hand than I did with my left. But it's just that I perfected that punch, the left hook, over the years, and then it became, you know, my biggest weapon. Yeah.
We used to love watching for that one. Now, of course, the one thing that I hope you think that I'm saying this in the right way, I think that you brought far more respectability to boxing than anybody else for me on the British scene, and I think this is probably borne out by the fact that you have been voted BBC Sports Personality twice. I think you were the first person to win it twice, weren't you?
Yeah, I was, the first time. So, it was just one of those things. I enjoyed what I was doing, and I think in life, if you enjoy what you're doing, you give it 100%, and thank God I had a good old manager, Jim Wicks, bless his heart. He was a lovely character, Jim. He knew the boxing game inside out. He knew the promoters very well. In them days, you had two big promoters, Jack Solomons, the first, and then Harry Levine came after him. And, you know, we always got plenty of work, so it was great, yeah.
And of course, in 1969, it must have been fabulous for you to be awarded the OBE by Her Majesty the Queen.
Yes, oh yeah, and then 2000 I was knighted, so which was another great occasion, you know. I mean, all these things you don't expect, and when they come, they're just like lovely extras, but you feel proud more or less for your family. And unfortunately, mum and dad. My mum and dad had died before I got, you know, before they knew about the knighthood and all that, you know. And dear old Jim Wicks had died as well. Yes. So it was a shame. But no, they're great honours, and it's, you know, the thing you don't expect.
I think, yeah, you know, in an English sense, or certainly in a British sense, that was that was already phenomenal. But to actually be awarded the KSG by His Holiness the Pope, I mean, that must have been another level for you.
Well, it was marvellous. See, the Pope, he does three sort of honours, I think. And I think the Knights of St. Gregory were the guys that stand guard over a Pope or a Bishop or a Cardinal who dies, you know. They're like in green sort of uniform, and they stand on the four corners, you know. And we're all the Knights of St. Gregory, so basically I'm entitled to do that, you know.
Yes. Now, I know that you're a very keen golfer.
We still playing a couple of times a week, yeah.
And I know the minute I told Paul Melba, who comes on our show on a Monday, that we were going to speak, he insisted I had to send his love and best wishes to you.
Ah, lovely. Wish you all the best from me. Yeah.
I will. He'll be listening in, so he'd be very, very pleased that you've acknowledged that for him.
Yeah, well, that's lovely. Good, great.
Well, now then, can I just finish by mentioning the book, because you had a book out in 2002, wasn't it?
Yes, yep.
And it's the authorised biography of Britain's greatest boxing hero.
Yes, yep, yeah.
And can we still find that quite easily?
Well, I mean, I think one or two shops have still got, they've actually stopped the print now, because, you know, if they tell me, you know, we sold about 20,000 copies, and they reckon if you sell like anything like 20,000 or over 20,000, you've got a bestseller on your hand. So, yeah, it all sold very well, you know, but I think, you know, the only chance you got now is if it's in the library or in a second-hand bookshop, you know.
Time and time again, Sir Henry, on this programme, we have things that seem to allude to the fact that a lot of discipline and a lot of respect seem to have gone out of society in general.
Yeah.
Don't you think, or do you think, sorry, I shouldn't lead you, really, do you think that if a sport like boxing was made as part of a curriculum, and the etiquette and the way that you respect each other in and out of the ring, but during the fight you then obviously do the business, would you think that would be good for society?
Well, I think it would. See, I think, to be honest, since all these do-gooders, you know, have come on the scene, political correctness and all this and that and the other, and things. See, when I was a kid, and I'm talking about in the 40s, when I went to school, every school in London, you could box. Now, if you was a schoolboy boxing champion, you was some boxer. I was never a schoolboy champion boxer, because I went into it in the 40s, about 1940, I don't know, 6 or 7, something like that, box and won the Southeast Divisional Championships or something like that, but I was never good enough. But see, people now have done away. You can't box in any school you go to. What do they call the good schools? If you look at the Oxford and Cambridge, they always had an inter-varsity match every year between each other in boxing. St. Paul's Cathedral, where all them little choir boys sing. Here, they had the best boxing team any school or had. Unbelievable, you know.
Yes.
And they say, and even kids like we were in South East London, like in on a poor, on a, like a working class state, East State, we could all box, and thank God that all put us on the straight and narrow.
Yes.
See, boxing is all about discipline. It's a discipline in your way of life. You have to have discipline in the gym, and you have to have discipline in the ring. Unfortunately, a lot of kids don't get that discipline now. You know, teachers can't discipline children now. When I say discipline, I mean like cane or things like that. They can't do that anymore. So, you know, youngsters now are growing up a little bit on the wild side, I think.
Yes. Yeah. Well, Sir Henry, thank you very much indeed. And, you know, it was. I was thinking, oh dear, we're not going to do it. And it was brilliant when you phoned me and we made the time. So thank you so much.
Well, I don't like letting anyone down. Can I just wish everyone a very happy Christmas and thank you for the support over the years.
Well,
thank you.
I think it goes without saying, we regard you as a living legend and long may it continue.
Yep, well, thank you very much.
Thank you very much indeed.
Nice to speak to you. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.